as a little nice bonus for our football coverage this week before kickoff for the 2023 Georgia Tech season, we have effectively the man running our game on the business side of things, the president and CEO of the Peach Bowl, Mr. Gary Stokin. Thank you. Thanks so much for coming on and hanging out with us.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having us.
So first, just give us just the quick elevator pitch of who you are, what you've been doing with the Peach Bowl since you've been running it since 1998, correct?
I'm CEO and president of Peach Bowl Inc., which handles the kickoff games as well as the bowl game, as well as our golf tournament out at Reynolds. Mm-hmm. We're a 501c3, the ninth oldest bowl game, founded in 1968, but the first game founded to give back to charity. We've kept that mission as we are the number one, most charitable bowl organization in the country. Giving away $61 million in charity and scholarship, which is something that's very important to us. And we'll continue with our AFLAC kickoff game with Georgia Tech and Louisville, as we've nicknamed the game the Kickoff for a Cause. And we'll be raising additional dollars for our Peach Bowl Legacy Fund, which funds trials at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta to find cures to eradicate childhood cancer at the AFLAC Cancer and Blood Disorder Center. AFLAC will also be raising more money to give to their $168 million that they've already given to the AFLAC Cancer and Blood Disorder Center at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta as well.
That's really cool. And I know Tech has done some other partnerships with CHOA in the past, a whole uniform at one point and stuff like that. So I think it's really cool that they're able to do this again effectively in recent memory. For me specifically, and I know others will remember, this was the Chick-fil-A kickoff classic game, but now it is the AFLAC kickoff classic game, as you mentioned here. What's the story there that AFLAC now gets to be the title sponsor this year instead of Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, Chick-fil-A has been a tremendous partner, the longest bowl sponsor in college football history. We're going on 27 years.
But
Chick-fil-A is our title partner, and they also stepped up for our kickoff game when we started it back in 2008. Last year, they came to me and said, they have a lot of things going on. Their business is really growing. They need to spend more marketing dollars in other places, but they want to continue the relationship with the bowl game to be the title sponsor moving forward. So they wanted to keep that and fortify that, but asked if they could step away from the kickoff game. And if we didn't find anybody, that they would step back up and help us out. And ironically enough, we started a new tradition last year with having Georgia Tech and Clemson on Monday night in our Chick-fil-A kickoff game, and Georgia and Oregon on Saturday. We traveled to New York and rang the New York Stock Exchange opening bell. To not only open the New York Stock Exchange, but to open college football for business and kick off the season. And as I was up there, one of the people that attended this event and is on the New York Stock Exchange is AFLAC and Virgil Miller, who is their president. And I spoke, and it was Michael Jordan has said, you only miss the shots you don't take. I explained to Virgil that, with our community of interest in college football, as they're a big sponsor for titling the AFLAC question in ESPN broadcasts and CBS broadcasts in college football. So they spend money already in advertising in college football, so the demographic makes sense to them.
Right.
They're a Georgia company like we are. They're committed to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta and committed to eradicating childhood cancer like we are. We gave $20 million back in 2019 to find cures and trials to eradicate childhood cancer from leukemia to neuroblastoma. And we now have 12 trials with 37 kids in those trials. So with all those community of interest, I handed off to Virgil, and 3 weeks later, through some calls, we had a deal done.
Nice.
So AFLAC's very committed to this. And so we're going to grow this game with a kickoff for a cause and grow the opportunity to find cures and trials and service the kids who are suffering from childhood cancer.
That's a great way to, I guess, make that partnership work. And a little bit of serendipity. It's a little bit of serendipity there in New York, which sounds great. A little story that I have for you. My first ever college football game as a student at Georgia Tech was the 2017 Labor Day night kickoff game of between Tech and Tennessee, which did not end well for us at all. With that failed 2-point conversion ingrained in my memory banks from the other side of the stadium.
I think Paul Johnson, as he was walking off the field or in the press conference, told me, "I've never rushed for 500 yards and lost a game."
I know they were killing. I'm glad we kind of went for that. It felt like a good move, but oh man, it was just 2 yards. It was just 2 yards. this game, and I went to the Auburn UCF Peach Bowl in the past as well. So I think being at these games are fun, and it's cool to see. And then I was at the Louisville game, not the Louisville game, sorry, Tech's game against Clemson last year as well. So it's always been fun for me to get to see Tech in Mercedes-Benz. I go to all the soccer games there and some Falcons games, but getting that particular atmosphere, there's a unique setting for that kind of football game.
Yeah, it really is. Mercedes-Benz Stadium is a state-of-the-art, great fan experience stadium. And, you know, I love Bobby Dodd as well, but it's just a different kind of experience
right
at Mercedes-Benz.
I do want to ask about Tech getting chosen again, because, I mean, obviously they're the team right down the road. I mean, they've been the de facto – they have been historically the de facto football team in Atlanta because they were the first one, if you want to go back that far, but then the de facto college team after the Falcons arrived. Do y'all – seek out, I know Georgia's played in this game a bunch of times. I know Bama's played in this game a bunch of times. Is it a priority for y'all to get a team that's going to be local and draw a crowd from the Atlanta area for this game?
Yeah, first off, we want to support Georgia and Georgia Tech. They're our local teams, and we think it's important to support them. So any chance or any opportunity we have to help Georgia Tech or Georgia in the kickoff game format, we want to do that. Obviously, on the bowl, now that we're part of the New Year's Six, we don't have the luxury of being able to choose
right.
Either Georgia or Georgia Tech. The teams are provided to us by the CFP selection committee. But for kickoff games, we do make the choice. And, you know, we talk with the ACC and, we talk with Jay Batt about, and obviously Todd Stansbury prior to this, about how and when it makes sense for Georgia Tech to play in our kickoff game. We'd love to have them. Same that we did with Greg McGarrity when he was at Georgia and mm-hmm. now Josh Brooks and Kirby Smart. And so this made sense last year. Obviously, Monday night is an mm-hmm. exclusive TV slot that the ACC owns with ESPN. And when we talked this year, or last year, I should say, with Jay and with the ACC, this game made some sense to do it on Friday night, which we've never played. But Friday night's a good night for us in that we're going to be primetime,
yep.
unopposed TV slot. And for a lot of the fans, they get a chance to enjoy the rest of the Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Travel if they want, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, or just stay home and watch college football. So it's going to be interesting to be on Friday night, but we look forward to it.
It's definitely one of the bigger Friday night games I can remember. Like, that's traditionally not a highlight night. You'll get some, maybe a good ACC game every once in a while, but like, yeah, thinking of, no, this is a very important Friday night matchup for teams here. That's and to kick it off, I think that's a cool way to at least not make it fold into the mix of the rest of the schedule also.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's a big game in that it's a conference game. And like last year with Georgia Tech Clemson,
yeah,
you have a conference game to start the season. It's kind of unique. It's important. It makes the game crucial. So particularly with Georgia Tech, when it's your home game, you know, you got to win your home game. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great atmosphere. And as we all know, kicking off college football, we've been starved for the last 9 months.
Yes.
We can't wait to get it started. So we're ready to go.
It'll be nice to start talking about actual games and not the surrounding stuff about of not the games. I'm curious about also how you select, because I know you mentioned you try to get the local teams here, which is really, really cool. But just in terms of getting their opponent, like, what is, do you have like a system to be like, okay, these are the teams we want to try and get for years X, Y, and Z? Does it just kind of come out of just conversations like this Affleck thing did? Or what's your process to get teams for this game?
Yeah, it's sometimes better lucky than good, but you talk years out with coaches and ADs and commissioners to say, okay, look, we'd like to do this. We see you have an opening. Would you play this team? Some coaches don't want to play other coaches. Some ADs don't want to play other schools. Mm. Then you got to work through the financial machinations of it to make sure it makes sense financially for the AD. And then the coach, obviously he's looking at what he can do from a potential CFP berth, to his schedule, what it looks like overall. So there's a lot of variables involved, but a lot of conversations take place, years out, and you try and make sense of it. And, we've been fortunate to be the leader in this and still maintaining that through 25, where we have Georgia, Clemson next year, and then yep. South Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Tennessee and Syracuse in 25. So, having games all the way through 25 is unusual in that most cities that have copied us, Dallas, Houston, Charlotte, Orlando, New Orleans, they don't have games on a yearly basis. So mm-hmm. we've been kind of the leader in that. We've changed the face of college football now with scheduling, because it used to be that, teams would play directional schools early on in non-conference schedule. The attendance wasn't very good. TV viewership wasn't very good.
Right.
And we've changed that now where, we're selling out crowds. We're, having TV viewership go up at the beginning of the season. And it's been very, very fruitful for a lot of people, the ADs, the presidents, the coaches, the players, the media. Everybody's won in us doing this. And so we're going to continue it. And, it's part of us being the capital of college football as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, Atlanta, that's where it all happens. We get anywhere from two to five of the biggest games of the year, depending on how the SEC title rolls out. Your games, of course, if the Peach Bowl has been a semifinal in the past, but now it's going to be a real game going forward, as you mentioned. I guess this year is the last year you get your say, right, in terms of who gets to play.
Yeah, well, we really don't say. The CFP will select.
True.
Now, moving forward in 24, to your point, and 25, the 12-team playoff will start, and we'll host in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl the quarterfinals in 24. Yep. Where we'll either have number 1, 2, 3, or 4 playing a winner on an on-site campus game in the first mm-hmm. round. And then in the 25 season, at the end of the 24 season, we'll have the national championship game. And then in the 25 season, we'll host the semifinal of the CFP again, which this year we had 22.5 million viewers, which all time in cable TV broadcast history is in the top 20 broadcasts,
big.
Which is pretty unique.
Yeah. Yeah. No, anytime George is here, it gets big. So that does make sense. I do want to ask about, Tech specifically. You guys are getting one of the most important games in recent Georgia Tech football history by far, with the coaching changes that happened last year. And now it's full send on Brent Key. Like, this is how this is going to go. I don't know how much you followed preseason camp and stuff like that, but the storylines have been generally pretty positive. And there is, for better or worse, a lot riding on how this game goes. I think some people maybe wanted in Bobby Dodd just to be there, but they're going to get their games. It'll be fine. We're going to get national television, which is the biggest ad space that the Institute can get. So is there something extra special about this being a particularly important game for the local team in this case for y'all?
Well, I think for Brent, obviously, who I'm very impressed with, what he's done recruiting-wise, what he stands for, how he's run his program and organized his program, very impressive. And I think he'll be very, very successful. He's already been successful as an interim coach. What he did was outstanding, and he deserved the job for sure, being an alumnus and having the experience that he has at Georgia Tech. But having two coaches start their conference, both being in their first games ever as a head coach.
All right, Louisville's got that too.
Respective alma maters is kind of cool and unique and a different storyline there. And both Jeff and Brent you know, leading up to this game are doing all the right things, whether it's recruiting, whether it's the transfer portal, whether it's their camps that they're in right now. So both are going to be very impressive, and it's going to be interesting to see on the field who's going to come out the winner in the first ACC game for both schools.
Fingers very crossed is the white and gold. This is a very biased podcast, if you couldn't tell by now. I did want to ask one question, at least about just the general landscape of college football, because obviously this has been a wild, wild off season. And just get your take on how the bowls kind of feel, how generally you felt about with all the realignment stuff going on. Does that impact your, I guess I want to say not your day to day, but that impact how you think about what your game plays a role in everything? Because you got, obviously, as you mentioned, one of the preeminent starting games of the year, down the playoff line, that's kind of out of your hands in terms of who you get. But does any of this impact the Peach Bowl and how you do your job?
Yeah, it's obviously the big question going on right now with realignment. From us on a Peach Bowl side, through the contracts that exist through 2025, we're in great shape with having, two top 10 teams this year in the Peach Bowl, two teams, either 1, 2, 3, or 4 against another team ranked 5 through 12 in the quarterfinal, and then in 25, the semifinal. And then the contracts will end. Obviously, CFP has to negotiate new contracts with TV and then set up the new 12-team system. Are they going to tweak it? There's going to be games on campus in the first 2 years. Will they maintain that? Will they go to all bowl games? Our goal is to stay as a part of the New Year's Six and host quarters and semis on a rotational basis. Mm-hmm. And, that's our goal. I think we've done a good job hosting people through the first 9 years. And obviously in 10, 11, 12, we'll do the same. And that grants us the right to move forward in 2026 and on being a part of the CFP playoff. So the other bowl games, I do worry a little bit about the bowls in between the New Year's Six and the ESPN-owned bowls.
Right.
I think there are 18 of them now. But those bowls, I think, in between, and we felt this when the BCS started. I remember when I took this job, BCS started that year, and I said, it's going to hurt the bowls because all the media is going to flock their attention to the 4 BCS bowls. And I was right. We were good enough to get up to the CFP and now in that prime position. But I do worry about the other bowls. I worry about not having the Pac-12, that those bowls that had Pac-12 hosts are going to be, affected.
Yeah.
So that's going to hurt college football. And we'll just have to see. There's always unintended consequences with everything that you change. So whether it's the playoff, what's the unintended consequence there to the bowls, how the realignment affects the bowl games, we'll just have to wait and see.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm hoping it works out for the better. I mean, there's a gazillion people that have had their ideas and stuff like that. But I think, the bowls have been part of all of this for the longest time. Like they're synonymous with the entirety of college football, and seeing the bowl games kind of lose their identity along the way with all this, because it's just all, it's so top heavy now, that has been an unfortunate side effect. So hopefully there's some sort of, so hopefully something gets going. I'm not the one to solve that. If I am, we're in trouble. So I'm sure you'll be an influential voice there. Before we step out of here, are you willing to give me any kind of prediction for the game, for the Tech Louisville game? So, you don't have to say who's going to win, but
we're moving toward a sellout. So, I'd like a sellout. I'd like a 3 overtime game.
Oh, boy.
Just a great game when no one gets hurt. And everybody has a great time. All the fans experience a unique experience of a kickoff game and a great college football game.
I hope that'll be the case with us winning. I don't really want us to go to 3 overtimes. That just seems too stressful. We already did this one time in 2017, as I mentioned earlier. That's too stressful for me. But I think it'll be a fun time no matter what, at least for the fans out there, and hopefully for everyone involved, and hopefully for our dear Yellow Jackets. Gary Stokin, thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure talking with you and meeting you. hopefully.
Great to be with you, Jack. I appreciate what you're doing to promote college football and Georgia Tech. And hopefully you see you over there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jack.